You are listening to the weekly message from Mount Helena Community Church. Celebration services are every Sunday at 10 a.m. at the Gateway Center. Or join us live online at www.mounthelena.cc.
During the months of October and November, we spent 4 weeks during that time, and we talked about this idea of rest. And, we heard from three different speakers during that time, and it was awesome because those three different speakers, we heard different perspectives and different points. How many people enjoyed those 4 weeks? How many people are resting right now? I really enjoyed those 4 weeks. One of the big ideas that came out of those 4 weeks was this idea that rest is good and that God designed rest, and he set it as a pattern we should follow. And keeping those thoughts in mind, I had the radio on this week, and while I was driving, I heard a song. Here's a clip. Just to know you and to make you known, we lift your name on high. Shine like the sun, make darkness run and hide. Because we know we were made for so much more than ordinary life. It's time for us to more than just survive. Because we were made to thrive. That's a catchy tune, isn't it? One of those lyrics states, "We know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. It's time for us to more than just survive. We were made to thrive." So that got me thinking. Been thinking about this, our 4 weeks that we had a conversation about rest, and then that song kind of entered my world. So this is what I was thinking. Okay, I said, okay, we've got this rest thing going on, all right? This is just what was going on in my head. I said, we've got this rest thing going on. Great. Let's say that we were able to check that off of our list, okay? I know this probably relates to nobody, but let's just say that we have gotten enough rest, right? Let's just say that somehow magically during December, we check that off our list and we get enough rest. Now what? Is that it? When I think about this idea that we were made to thrive, there's a perspective in our culture about the picture of thriving that I kind of wonder about. That is a picture a lot of culture has when we say, I want to thrive. That's the picture. I have no idea where that is. That's a stock image off the internet. It's probably Photoshopped. Canyon Fairy Lake, that's where it is. That's Cyrus right there with a hat on. You're looking good, man. You've been working out. So the thought in my head these past few weeks was, how do you thrive? And is the goal of our lives to get to the point where we're sitting on an island somewhere with a drink in our hand looking at the waves? I mean, is that the point? Is that what thriving is? I don't know. I'm not sure about that. So when I was thinking about, okay, what does it mean to thrive? What does it actually mean to thrive? When I think about this subject, I just want to take you on this thought process for a second. When I think about that question, how do you thrive? What does it mean to thrive? There's a couple things that happen. Number one, I feel like this. That's what I feel like tackling this topic. You feel like Iron Man designing an atom? Yes. There are so many different ways you could talk about this, and there are so many different things you could investigate. I almost don't know where to start. But the second thing that goes on in my head is like, okay, if you have to present a topic on how do you thrive, and typically what happens is you say, well, you know what, you're in church, so here's 3 points on how to thrive, and you do these 3 things, and your life will be better, guaranteed. And I'm just not that smart. To be honest, I'm just not. And I think actually that, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that approach, but I think that a lot of us, we're so different and there's so many things going on in our lives. I think that approach can be a little bit too cookie cutter for us. So today, I want to tell you what my goal is with this. My goal is not to present a sermon with three points, and a neat little bow on it. My goal today is to begin a conversation with you. I want you to kick this around in your brain. I want you to journal about this. I want you to get a friend and grab a cup of coffee and talk about this with somebody. The goal today is not, I'm not going to tell you how to thrive. The goal today is simply to provoke thinking in you. That's what I want to do. So imagine this for a second, okay? You know what, actually, everybody close your eyes so you're not looking at me. You're freaking me out. Close your eyes. Hold up a sign on the left part of your brain, head, whatever. Hold up a sign that says thrive. Everybody got it? Now, on the right side of this picture you have, hold up a calendar. Actually, you know what? Hold up your calendar. And not just a calendar, hold up your month of December. Now, on one side, you have thrive. On the right side, you have your calendar in December. You can open your eyes. How was that? Painful. Because it happened, the same thing happens to me. When I think about thrive, I think about December. These two things are not adding up. These two things are clashing. And this the holiday season isn't exactly known for thriving, is it? Is it? No. This season, you guys, it's so crazy and busy. Actually, let me ask you a question. What's busier for you guys? Is it the start of fall or is it the holiday season? Both. Yes, okay, that's interesting. For us, it's definitely the holiday season. There's so much stuff on the calendar, and the stuff is good. I mean, the stuff is good, but there's still a lot of stuff. And I've had a few conversations with various people recently, and it seems like one of our default tendencies as people, as humans, is when you get in a season like this, what you want to do is you want to put your head down, and you want to get through it, and then you want to look up on the other side of it, right? Can anybody else relate to that? But keeping your head down can be a little bit dangerous. There's a few spots in town where I've learned to not keep my head down. So the first one is over by Shopko. That's where our optometrist is. And we park in the optometry section there, and we go in, do whatever. And for some reason, whenever I come out of Shopko, I'm looking at the receipt or my head's down. There's a stop sign in the middle of that sidewalk, and they refuse to move it. You know how many times I've almost hit my head on that stop sign? I think one time I did hit my head on that stop sign. We were just there, I think, on Black Friday, and I came within that close to just nailing my head on that stupid stop sign because my head was down. The other time, a few months ago, Leslie and I went to dinner downtown, parked right in front of the State Fund building, had dinner, came out, and I thought I lost my sunglasses. I couldn't find them. So I thought I saw them near the building, and I was so focused on my sunglasses that I didn't see this huge steel beam that was extruding. Laid me out. I mean, I hit that thing with a force, and I, boom, right on my butt. And I told Leslie after I got over the concussion that I said, man, I want to talk to State Fund and see if they have a camera, because that'd be some funny stuff. Yeah. So I'm not sure that this thought of get through it is the best thing for us, especially in this season that we're at. I mean, just remember the season that we're at. We are in a season that is typically known for the birth of Jesus Christ. And you got this whole Christmas spirit thing going on. People are supposed to be nicer and giving, and you see people from out of town, you're reading Christmas letters. I mean, that is the season we're right in the middle of. And for some reason, there's this mentality in us that just says, okay, get through it. I'll pick up my head in February, right? And I want to challenge that thought today, and I want to challenge that with this idea of thriving. Jesus had some thoughts on the idea of thriving. He told us in the New Testament, one of my favorite verses of all time, and in the book of John, he says this, John 10:10. He says, the thief comes, he's talking about the devil, he says, the thief comes only to steal, and to kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it in all of its fullness. Catch that for a second. Catch that. Even though it's a familiar verse, catch that. One of the reasons that Jesus came and he endured the cross everything we said thank you for in worship this morning, one of the reasons he did that is so that you may have the opportunity for life and have it in all of its fullness. Does that not sound like thriving? That sounds like thriving to me. So then, one of the big questions remains. Okay, how? How am I supposed to thrive? That's a great question. Like I said before, it's a big Adam-designing question, and honestly, it has a lot of good, right answers to that question. But my tendency is try to simplify things whenever I can. I've been noticing this about myself, that I try to simplify things whenever I can. So for this instance, we're going to try to simplify this, okay? Wow. Good. Yes. All right. Some people are thinking, that guy's really insecure. He just needs applause wherever he goes. Yes. All right. So this is what we're going to do. To simplify this idea of thriving, we're going to build a house. Jane, Anita, sorry, you can't get away from it. This is how we're going to do it. In our house, I'm not an artist, by the way, not that kind. We need some things in our house. We need walls, and we need a weird roof, and let's put some windows, and, oh, door, good, doorknob. You know what, let's put a little chimney up here with a little fire burning. That's clouds, smoke. Okay, so let's call this our Thrive House, okay? Trademark pending. Good. All right, so if this is our Thrive House, this is what I want you to do. Everybody see that? If I get out of the way? This is what I want you to do. Tell me an area of your life that you want to thrive in, a general area. Tell me, and this is where you give me, we're going to fill our house up. What's that? Relationships? Okay. Like topic-wise. You know what? Let's use a different color. Relationships. Give me another one. Prayer. Great. Yeah, just give, we got to fill this house.
Health.
What's that?
Health.
Good. Business. Finances, good. Keep them coming. What was that? Food. How do you mean? Yes, I'm going to actually make that diet because that's a great one. Parenting. Couple more. What was that? Overcoming. One more. Joy in ministry. That was a buy one, get one. Okay, so when I look at this house, that's a pretty good house, right? You guys all see that? That's a pretty good house. I would want to live in that house. But here's the thing with this, is when I look at each of these topics, those topics are so diverse, those topics are so different, that I could take one of those topics and just think on those, and you could zoom in, and you could say, okay, how do you thrive with your diet? How do you thrive with business? And each one of those things could be different, couldn't it? I mean, you could take a whole year and talk about thriving in each one of these separate areas. So that's when it hit me. Because I did this exercise with myself at home. And all of these different areas of our Thrive House have something in common. Okay? Something that each of these areas needs in order to thrive. There's something that's actually missing from our house. And I'm going to paint it in this color. We are missing this. We are missing a foundation for our house. There is something that I would argue that without that foundation firmly in place, that house will not stand. Not for very long, anyway. You're not going to be able to, build anything with that house. In our Thrive House, this foundation, I can put one simple word in there. And it's a simple word, but it's a powerful word. And before I tell you what the word is, I want to tell you about the word, okay? This past week, we had some friends over to our house, and we spent the evening talking, and we were brainstorming a bit, and at the end of the night, we prayed together, and man, it was awesome. So good to just pray together, honestly, to get some perspective. That's when I realized how important this one word is. I want to read you a verse out of the New Testament that I've been thinking a lot about lately. This verse comes out of the book of Ephesians, and the author, Paul, he just wrote this long prayer, and at the end of it, he says this, Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us." Man, if we really want to thrive, if we really want each of these areas in our Thrive House to thrive, that verse is crucial to it. Because see, I believe that during this season, or really, I mean, any season of life where we have our head down and our main thought is just get through it, it's easy to forget this. It's easy to forget about this. Paul is talking about God, the creator of the universe. And he's saying this. He's saying, now to him, now to God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine. You know what? Let's make this real for a second. Let's think about this. I want you to do this with me. I want you to pick an area. Really do this. Pick an area of this house. Just focus on one right now. Pick an area of this house that you want to thrive in. And if you can't see that house, just pick an area of your life that you want to thrive in. Really do this. Now, as you're thinking about this area, think about in your mind a best case scenario. If it was a perfect world, what would this area look like? So for example, if your area is finances, what would a perfect world of finances look like? I'm actually going to give you a second to think through this. Best case scenario, perfect world, what does that area of your life look like? Okay, great. What Paul just said about you is that your best case scenario, the one you have in your brain right now, your best case scenario, your perfect world picture is just the start. It's just the start. I just asked you to design something, perfect world, best case, and God is saying, great, we can work with that. That's not the end. That's not the end goal. That's the start of it. Why? Because he says he is able to do immeasurably more than anything you can ask, anything you can imagine. He's saying, that's a great start. I can work with that. And what you just did, what I tricked you into doing, within that little exercise, you just discovered the foundation of our house. When we do an exercise like that, when we start to dream about one of those areas and what we want in it and what God wants, what happens, what just happened if you did that, you subconsciously picked up your head. You subconsciously picked up your head and you cut through the just get through it mentality. And you tapped into abundance. You tapped into creativity. You tapped into anything is possible. You just did that. And see, what happened is those God-breathed, Holy Spirit-infused thoughts you just had produced the foundation of our house. The foundation of this house, in one word, is vision. The foundation of our Thrive House is vision. Vision is what causes us to lift up our head. Because the sheer nature of vision, it replaces your get through it with a little expression I call, what if? What if? This is a thought that when we were praying the other night, man, it just, you know those thoughts when like you're praying and God just goes wham and just nails something, just invades your prayer? This is one of those. And this is what I prayed for that group, is I prayed that God in this season of our lives would replace the get through it with what if. That all of us would dream for these areas of our lives. And you want to hear something cool? God answered. Well, God confirmed this the next morning. This was so cool. I texted out the group that met with us. And I told him about this because I got ready the next morning. I was getting ready for work. And I was late. And so I was kind of zooming through the kitchen. And there was a box sitting on the near the oven that my wife was going to use in dinner that night. And I literally, I mean, I was walking and then I kind of did, whoa, one of these. Because I saw something in the box. You guys, I couldn't make this up. Check out the picture. Seize the what if. I have never seen that box before in my life. And no, she didn't make a spicy skillet bake. What was that? Oh, cornbread. That's right. That was like the best chili she's ever made. Man, that woman could make. Oh, that was great. That was a great meal. Is that not cool? God totally invaded my prayer life and said, dream about the what if. And then the next morning, he's like, oh yeah, I made this box all this time ago. Your wife bought it all this time ago. And now you see it the next morning. I think God cares about the what if in our lives. Could you agree? See, I believe that if we want to thrive, if we want to have abundant life like Jesus promised us, there's a lot of things we can do, honestly. There's a lot of things we can do, but vision will be our foundation. Vision has to be our foundation. Let me tell you about a couple people. In 1774, there was a guy named John Adams, and he boldly declared, quote, "Someday I see a union of 13 states, a new nation, independent from the Parliament and the King of England." Incidentally, he was the first one to express out loud, publicly, that idea. A few years later, against all odds, the United States of America was born. 15 years after that, an Englishman named William Wilberforce, he stood before the British Parliament and he lobbied for the day when slaves would no longer be bought and sold like farm animals. It took decades for that to happen. But eventually the slave trade was officially abolished all across the United Kingdom. Then in the late 1940s, there's a group of college buddies. They were sitting in a dorm room and they were dreaming together. And their dream was that they would be able to fill college stadiums all over the world and present a gospel message to people who were far from God. They wanted to tell them that Jesus loves you and come back to God. Through the efforts that Billy Graham and his team have led, 215 million people have heard the gospel in person, and over 1 billion people have heard it via television and radio. What do all these people have in common? They had vision. They had vision. Vision to me is really simple. My definition of vision is a picture of a better tomorrow. That's what it is. And these three people said, I have a picture of a better tomorrow. Whether it's abolishing slaves, or it's forming a new nation, or filling stadiums with people to hear a gospel message, that was their picture of tomorrow. The Bible has some pretty strong words about vision. See, in the book of John, we've read that Jesus promised us that he has come that we would have abundant life, right? That's great. So he says, I have come that you would have abundant life. Now, earlier in the book of Proverbs, there's a guy named Solomon, and he actually gave us the recipe for the opposite of thriving. Solomon gave us a recipe for perishing. He said, you want to perish? I'm going to tell you how to do it. Take vision away. Solomon said, where there is no vision, the people perish. Doesn't say might. Doesn't say maybe. A good chance. It's a definitive statement. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That's a pretty good recipe. I would contend that this simple house picture, vision is crucial to making everything in that house thrive. Do you want a thriving marriage today? If you're married, do you want a thriving marriage? Yeah. Yes. What does that look like? What does that look like for you as a husband? What does that look like for you as a wife? What does a thriving marriage look like? How about your job? Do you want abundant life in your job? What does that mean for you as an employee? What do you need to do as an employee in order to usher in that abundant life? How about your kids? Do you want your kids to thrive? What does your parenting look like with thriving kids? Vision is what's going to fuel your thriving. See, this is why I question the idea that the ultimate goal of our lives is to end up sitting on an island somewhere. I'm all for vacations and time away and that whole thing, but when I think of thriving, I think of something completely different, honestly. I think of the next thing that Paul wrote in the book of Ephesians. Paul just finished writing this great statement, right? He just got done writing this great prayer for them, and he says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than anything you can ask, anything you can imagine." So he just wrote this statement, and the statement is stirring in us, and it's creating dreams and thereby creating some vision, and he's got this whole thing going on. And then he delivers this 1-2 punch in Ephesians 4. He says this, "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you," and he's pounding on something, I imagine, "I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received." I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. You've got all this dreams, you've got all this vision, you've got the what if. Now go and do something about it. This is where our foundation here begins to solidify, and it begins to cure, and it begins to get rock hard. This is why I question the idea of thriving if the goal is to end up sitting on an island somewhere. Personally, when I think of this concept of thriving and abundant life, resting on an island doesn't even enter my thoughts. It sounds more like Castaway and your best friend being a buddy volleyball. That's what it sounds like to me. When I zoom in and I think of individual, this is for me, when I think of individual days in which I felt like I've thrived, it's days that I hit the pillow at night and I am exhausted and I love it, right? I wouldn't change a thing. You know those days? You had those days where it's not necessarily that I was sitting on an island. Man, I worked my butt off that day, and I loved it. And I'm hitting the pillow smiling because I'm so tired. That is a thrive day for me. Then at the opposite of those days are the days in which I did nothing. Yeah, we can relate to those days. I think of my first job out of college, and I worked at a storefront for an IT company, and I sat in an office all day. And my job was to greet the customers and service them as they come in. Great. Problem. We don't have any customers. So I would sit at this desk, which was, this room was big. And I would sit at this desk, and nobody would come in. I was so bored. And those days were so long. And I remember, I would go home tired at the end of every one of those days. So tired, and not a good tired. And one of my buddies wisely told me, he says, "Well, it's hard to take a break when you're doing nothing." I don't talk to him anymore. Jerk face. He's probably listening, knowing who he is. Our former senior pastor, Brian Acey, he once had a sermon in which he encouraged us to get out our sword and whack something. Remember that? Well, as it turns out, my exact thought process in this sermon was, man, I wish I knew somebody that had a, wait a minute, I have one. This, good thing the kids aren't in here. This sword is a real samurai sword. This sword was given to Leslie and I when we lived in Michigan. We ran a college ministry. And before we left, one of the guys, just as a way of saying thank you, he gave us this sword. And that's real. So real that he says, don't touch the blade because the oil on your skin will diminish the blade. And I bring this to you, well, just because it's cool. And I've never gotten to bring a sword to church before. I think we have some sort of weapons policy against it. We should, anyway. But when I think about thriving, I get a picture in my head of myself in a field. And don't ask, it's my picture, leave me alone. I get a picture of myself in a field, and the field has large weeds on it. And for some reason, the weeds look like wheat. I don't know why. But what I'm doing, man, everybody's nervous right now, is I have a sword in my hand, and I am whacking these weeds down. I am clearing the path. And in my picture, I'm doing this, I'm clearing a path, but my eyes are up. I'm looking at the next thing, right? And I have vision in my head, right? In this picture, I have vision. I know what I'm doing. My hands are firmly around this sword. I've got a white knuckle grip on this sword. But I'm not looking at the weeds. They're just there to distract me. I'm whacking them down. That's a picture in my head. That's my Thrive days. So the danger, though, is when we lose sight of our vision, right? The danger is when the stuff we're doing, all those weed whacking, is when it becomes monotonous. And maybe we forget why we're doing it. Perhaps discouragement sets in. And perhaps it's at that moment you stop swinging this so much. And then what's going to happen is cynicism is going to set in. And you start questioning why you're even doing this in the first place. You start questioning your sword. And then what happens after that is your what if will be replaced with just get through it. And now you're not swinging as hard as you once were. And when your what if is replaced with just get through it, it's very possible you're just going to set your sword down and not swing at all anymore. See, that's an unfortunate truth about vision that I've learned in recent days, is that vision leaks. For example, in this exercise that you did, you got some vision for that area, right? You came up with your best case scenario, your perfect world, and that excited you. And then I told you what Paul said all those years ago, and he said, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than you can even ask or imagine, and that excited you. You got really excited about that because you've got dreams and vision, and then you hear God saying, that's just a start, son. That's just a start, daughter. And then Paul is saying, now go and live a life worthy of your calling. And man, you're excited. But then what about Tuesday? What happens on Tuesday? Nothing. Life happens on Tuesday. It was 3 days since I told you this. What's going to happen on Tuesday is life is going to happen. Bills are going to need to be paid. You're going to have a challenge at school or at work, and bills are going to be paid. Errands going to need to be ran. Snow is going to need to be shoveled, maybe. Little by little, your vision will leak. And that is a certainty, because I've experienced that. But that's not an excuse, right? You can't use that as an excuse, because eventually that vision will leak to nothing. What if is no longer in your vocabulary. Now it's just get through it. But you guys, you can't use that as an excuse, because your family needs you to have vision. Your employer needs you to have vision. Your school needs you to have vision. Paul is saying, live a life worthy of your calling. So what you have to do is you have to do what David did. We don't have time to look at the story, but you have to practice self-leadership, and you have to fill your vision back up. Because you guys, we're living in a world that needs vision. It needs a message of hope. It needs you to have vision. Two little things that have really helped me, just practically, with vision leaks. Just a couple things. Number one, write it down. Write it down. Whether it's a goal, or whether it's a vision statement, or a mission, whatever you want to call it, man. Write it down. Because when you write it down, it's this cool thing you can do. When you write it down, you can go back and read it. It's really cool. And it works. When you're experiencing a vision deficit, pull that vision out and read it out loud. Read it to your wife or your friends or whoever will listen. Read it to your wall, man. But read it out loud, because that's going to start to create some momentum in the vision department. The second thing I would say is create mile markers in your vision. Create steps along the way to encourage your vision. So let me give you an example. Perhaps one of your areas, we talked about marriage. So perhaps one of your areas is marriage. Maybe you're here and, to be honest, you don't have a great marriage. And you both know that. And you say, okay, I'm going to do this. I want to thrive in marriage. But you realize that thriving in marriage is a little bit further from where you are right now. So create mile markers. What does a thriving marriage realistically look like for you at the end of this week? What does it look like at the end of December? At the end of 3 months, 6 months, 9 months? Write these down. Say, okay, we haven't had a date night in years. We're going to have a date night at the end of the week. What's going to happen there, I promise you this, is if you write it down, create a mile marker, when you accomplish that, your vision is going to go tick, 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 tick. It's going to get stronger. And then at 3 months, when you say, okay, this is my goal for 3 months, and you hit that, it's going to go tick, 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 tick. And your vision is going to get stronger. And pretty soon, 10 years down the road, with this vision in place, you're going to be able to look back and you're going to be able to say, wow, look how far we've come, right? But the trick is you can't, it's easy to get frustrated, you know, if you're saying, okay, I want a great marriage now. You can't get frustrated in that infancy part, you know? It's like, well, it's just a date night. Don't worry about it. No, no, no. It's not, it's never just a date night, right? Baby steps. Dave Ramsey. That's what it is. These are things that you can build your vision. And it's cool because it's like this automatic system where your vision is going to cure and your vision is going to get solid because there's these mile markers in place that validate your vision. It's great. You guys, we can get so stuck in the just get through it mentality. And I want to tell you something here, that this is not a guilt trip because, you know, there's sometimes in life, I'm just going to tell you honestly, sometimes in life, your life circumstances demand that you do that, just to be real. Sometimes your life circumstances demand that you put your head down and you get through it. And that's totally cool. You know, maybe you've got finals or sick kid or something, and you've just got to get through it. That's fine. But I would contend that you can't live permanently like that. You can't live continually like that. Because what will happen over time is you'll lose your what if. You'll forget about the what if. So this morning, I'd like to, this is going to sound funny, I want you to begin a conversation with yourself or the people you have at home or the friends you're going to gather with this week, whatever. But I want you to begin this conversation, and I'm just going to give you some questions. And write these down if you like, but the point is that this thought provokes you into thinking and then action to live a life worthy of your calling. So right now, are you thriving or are you just getting through it? Either one is okay. There's no wrong answers here. Are you thriving or are you just getting through it? And I would ask you, why is that? If you're thriving, great, but why? Why are you thriving? If you're just getting through it, okay, why? So are you thriving or are you just getting through it? Why? I would ask you, how's your vision these days? How's your vision? Is there some vision that you need to remind yourself of today? How's your vision? Like when we first started out in marriage, Leslie and I read the 5 love languages, and he recommends that you ask your partner regularly, how's your love tank? Right? How's your vision tank? Is it full? Empty? The other question I would ask you is, where's your sword? Where is it? And then right on the heels of that, this is a question that I really want you to hear. What is it that you get the privilege of swinging your sword at? So often, you guys, we play the victim. And it's kind of like, I'm just being hard on myself here. It's woe is me, and I have to do this and this and this, and blah, 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 whine, whine, whine. No, no, no. Jesus is saying, I have come that you would have abundant life. So remind yourself, what is it that you get the privilege of swinging your sword at? Just even that is a perspective change. You know, even that, if you get nothing else, man, what is it that you get the privilege of swinging your sword at? Then I would ask you, How will you continue swinging your sword? How will you continue? Do you need to change anything about the way you're swinging your sword or what you're swinging your sword at? It's entirely possible that you're sitting here and you need a reminder, a vision. You have heard all this and you say, you know, that's great. I have no idea what you're talking about. I've got nothing here. And that's okay. That is perfectly okay. Because God is the originator. And he is the creator of the vision you need. His word promises us in the Old Testament. He says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. He says, my ways are higher than your ways. He is where vision comes from. Additionally, if you're here and you would consider yourself far from God, if you don't know what I'm talking about when you say, when Jesus says, I have come that you would have abundant life, you guys, that's not a self-help seminar. It's something so real and something so powerful that when you put your trust and your faith in him, God works in your life supernaturally. I know that because it happened with me. But if you've never experienced that, again, come up, chat with our prayer team. We're going to be up here and we'd love to have that conversation with you, or talk to the person you came with. Ask them questions. Put them on the spot. Now everybody hates me. It's fine. But I think in closing, the thing I want to say is it's such a great season to be alive right now on the earth. It's such a great season. And each of us have different social circles that we get to be a part of. And there's things in your life that God has called you to do, to live a life worthy of your calling that only you can do. But it starts here. It starts with vision.
For more information, visit our website at www.mounthelena.cc. Download our mobile app available in iTunes and Google Play. Be sure to check us out on Twitter and Facebook.